the bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is versatilist crew. Will IT get done? Our guests for today's show are Kevin Walker, who is the Senior Vice President and CIO with American Electric Power. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Sanjay.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Beautiful. Ken Fulmer is our other esteemed guest. He is the Chief Technology Officer with Sunoco. How are you doing, Ken?
I'm doing very well today. Thank you.
Very good. So you guys enjoying the winter and ready for the shopping? Did you go shopping?
yeah, we haven't started shopping yet, but the winter is definitely here in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, I'm an online shopper personally, so I've already started.
Oh, so you're leveraging technology to kind of get out of that winter thing.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Now, this topic that we have chosen today, this is a word that was coined sometime back, and Gartner was involved in it, then John Friedman also used it in his book. The action that we are looking here that is going to happen is when we are going to do so much work in IT going forward, and IT is going to become so deeply entrenched, the people is going to become the most important part, the crew. And we all along have been in that mode where we wanted to always have specialists, people who really know what they do, so we give them the job, we delegate, and then we go about doing our own thing because we have a confidence that these guys will fulfill. And we have an old adage as well, that the more focused we are, the more opportunities we attract. So this kind of used to give the specialist the, you can say, security that I will never be out of a job. But if becoming a versatilist actually is refuting this whole concept, Kevin.
Sanjay, that's a very interesting question, and as you know, I'm a relatively new CIO, so I spend most of my time on the operating side of the house, and I would say it depends on the industry. Certainly in the IT space, those specialists are critical for getting the job accomplished. Legal, I was talking to an attorney friend of mine in preparation for this discussion, and he said, yeah, in the legal space it's the same, medical field, but in the business world, it's kind of the opposite. I mean, being a generalist is really critical, and that's how you get the most opportunities. I think it's a balancing act, and I think it's really important to have those specialists, especially in the IT space.
Ken, what do you think?
A little bit of the same, but a different wrinkle on it. I think that what we need to be versatile around and what we need to be focused on are a little bit different. So if versatility is spoken of only in terms of technical skills, then I think we do need some technical diversity, but we absolutely need focus too. And to me, the key point is to be focused on the business outcome and the business results and be very solution oriented. So, you know, leveraging Kevin's example of medical, there's a time when you need a surgeon that is specialized in whatever the ailment is. But for our day-to-day health management, we need general practitioners. So the same kind of model, that most of what we need it can be delivered with people that have a broad range of skills and are versatile, but there is a time and a place when you need to bring in a specialist.
Now, we are looking at, and actually, Kevin, you mentioned the word generalist. Would you call this person to be a generalist on steroids?
That's a good way to look at it, especially since it's such a technical field. You know, to be adept at many technologies and to be able to add significant value at some, you know, high performance metrics is a big challenge. I definitely would look at that as a generalist on steroids. And also, typically, generalists have other specialists to rely on, and I think oftentimes the versatilist that we're talking about winds up being the expert just in multiple fields.
Would you be able to, or between you and Ken, would you be able to very clearly demarcate the definition of generalist and or versatilist? Because frankly, generalist also has a negative connotation in today's day and age.
It does in the context of, you think of it as somebody who's a mile wide and an inch deep, right? So it can have that connotation. But I think we still would see it in the context of IT and being able to bring the two key divides of skill in IT, and I'm a 30-year practitioner of IT. The biggest break I see in the skill sets are between people who are application solution oriented and the infrastructure capable folks. I think that area is where we see a significant difference in the skill sets and the approaches to what's important. But focusing on the application side of that, again, I revert back to that. I think they're general in the sense they can bring a whole array of tools to bear to solve the problem that they're faced with to get the business outcome they need. So if they understand the business, they know the industry well, they know how to analyze business process, and they know how to deliver with modern tools, not with the traditional tools that required very deep technical expertise. But in most situations, we can get a lot done with the kind of tools that are out there now that make that person very productive. And still then, when we need that specialist brought to bear to take it the last piece, that we can do that. And it gets into the model of who is in the mix. So in the context that we're speaking of primarily, it's around the concept of an employee. And I think there's also a place for the specialist to be much more the contract resource, and these generalists or versatilists, the employee resources in most firms.
So would you say that all along, while we were running our IT, and in many cases very successfully, and other places where it was not as successful in delivering value because of some other reasons, but it may not be because of this divide or this lack of versatilists versus specialists, why now? Why now this clear demarcation? Why now this demand? And that, too, not from everyone, a selected few who are going out and raising the voice that, hey, we have to have some versatilists in the crew now.
Yeah, Sanjog, I would say, and this is coming from my experience on the operating side of it, the IT world is very, very complicated from an outside looking in standpoint. So when I was trying to get something done, as Ken correctly noted, the discussion about a project would have an applications person, would have an infrastructure person, would have somebody who was in the build, the testing, the run, and so there was a plethora of people that would come to that meeting, and I would always wonder, what part of the role do these people play, and why is there so many of them? Can't they kind of collapse this into one person who really kind of understood my needs as well as could translate my needs into all of the subsets of the IT space? So I think out of necessity, trying to meet the customer need, at least the piece that's facing the customer, the more understanding you have about their business and the less people, quite frankly, on a logistics standpoint, the less people that have to show up at meetings to get the requirements for a project and actually see it through, the better off it is and the more credibility I think the IT space has.
Now, would you think, would it not be a better idea to just take a business person who happens to know a little bit of IT and train them into becoming these versatilists versus trying to look for a geek and having him wear a business hat?
Yeah, I don't know, Sanjog, if one is preferential to the other. I mean, I think that it depends on the interest and the aptitude of the individual. I think the capabilities are there, or could be there. It's just a matter of their interest and aptitude. Sometimes it's very difficult for someone who's worked in the operations world their whole life to think about the complexities of getting an IT project, planned, built, and running. Just as hard as it might be for someone who's been in that space their entire career to think about, what it takes to provide services to the ultimate customer and what the business pressures are out there in the customer world. So I don't think it's just generic to say it's easier one way or the other. I think it really has to do on the individual.
Let me jump in, and this is Ken. Kevin's earlier point about the experience of too many IT people in the room confusing the client, I think that's the ultimate articulation of the need for someone who has the versatile skills that can collect all of the requirements that IT needs and bring them back and be able to articulate them. So being able to talk to the business person, understand the business, understand how to get at requirements for both the application and the solution and at the necessary level to get information that can be interpreted to infrastructure, I think that's the high-level versatilist role, the key function that it serves. And then being able to drive that through the entire IT organization to bring about an integrated, consistent solution. So I think the way that we work in kind of a militaristic SWAT team-oriented approach where you have a small group that can do a lot of things and can interact with each other in various situations, a high-performing team like that can get a lot more done than a team that comes in and will, you know, have those debates and not understand each other, let alone understand the customer.
Now, on your side, as management folks, as IT leadership, you want these type of people. On the other side, one of the reasons that some people who were specialists or who did not get enough opportunities, they are moving towards becoming versatilists or they, in their mind, are generalists, or that's what they term themselves, and they are kind of insecure because they're not getting enough opportunities. So that is more of a fear-driven approach, which is going to create the supply. You have a demand. But is that fear-driven supply be enough for your demand? Kevin.
Yeah, I think that that's going to obviously be a component of the entire supply chain, people self-opting to become versatilists because they're afraid that if they stay specialists, they're going to somehow miss opportunities. But there's another subset of that supply chain that we're going to create ourselves, and I think that's what you're getting at, is that when we need folks who have a broader perspective, whether it be inter-IT operability, as Ken talked about, somebody who understands the infrastructure side as well as the application side, we can do those as senior IT leaders. We can make swaps across those boundaries. We have BSAs, business system analysts, who are customer-facing, and we certainly can give them robust opportunities to learn about the business. In fact, more than can, we do. We force that as part of their process. So some of it's opting in, but some of it's created by us as senior leaders.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and see what Ken has to say about the supply and demand. While there may be an increasing demand for such resources, are we creating the necessary channels for the demand to be met? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All we talk about is money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today. Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjo Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about this show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology. technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjo Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Welcome back, folks. So we are talking about demand and supply of such versatilists. So, Ken, what do you think can be done to create the supply side or make it more robust for it to meet the increasing demand?
Well, the demand factors, as we spoke a little bit in the break, there's a lot of cyclicalness, and we're seeing this now in the economy in general, where the economy is going down. So there's variability in demand, and the key to me is around making supply able to fit those demand patterns and making your variable costs your primary costs. And in order to get the skills to fit that model of cyclical economic behavior, we try and have this versatilist concept. So as we, you know, prune down on projects that are going to get canceled in the coming year, that means we may have a little bit less going on in development, so we'll focus on bringing people to different activities in maintenance or in improvements that will get us the best economic outcome for the company, and let that demand and the skills be versatile enough to flow with that demand. So that's been the key for us of it. And in terms of, you know, how to keep the supply side going, I think it's in an intelligence in the way we source. I think the right mix of employees balanced with the right mix of contract folks that can be there when you need them, and establishing and managing relationships. So one of the roles of your versatilist is managing those outside resources as effectively to get the result for the company as we're able to manage our own employee teams.
So would you say in ideal case an IT crew should comprise of program managers, project managers, business analysts, and systems analysts, and that's about it? And let's have the top .NET developer or Java developer or a database administrator come from outside as specialists?
In one sense, yes, but in the practice that I've perpetuated here, we have really tried to not have anyone have a title and not conceive of themselves in any particular role. So not the notion of someone focusing and say, I'm only a business analyst, that would be a career-ending pattern of thinking. We want people to, again, you know, whatever it takes to get the job done, and with a mantra that everybody's going to write code, everybody's going to do business analysis, everyone's going to be testing. It's all role-based, given what your team needs at that point in time. And yet people have different skills, and you try and mix and match a team to get the right mix for the business outcome that you need, but also not have people lock into those. And we do want people to code, but for really in-depth detail and where the real, you know, generalist.net, you know, if you need 10 of them, that's the time to go to the marketplace, versus you don't want somebody that doesn't know how to code, because then their ability to correctly create requirements that don't require a lot of interpretation is hampered, in my opinion.
So, Kevin, if suppose what Ken mentioned about, you know, the structure that he's saying that there should not be, or what he's done actually successfully, as you mentioned, with no roles, no titles, how would you ever do a performance review on a person who do not have a job description for, a specific one, and that means, in a way, no benchmark to compare that person's performance with?
Yeah, you know, we haven't evolved to that place yet. We're still kind of in that structure that you talked about where everybody has specific roles. While we encourage them to go beyond those areas and not feel like they're bound by the title, they still have kind of some primary functions. But if we were in that space, as Ken described, you'd really have to base it on outcomes. And ultimately, isn't that what we're trying to achieve anyway? It's not necessarily the input that we're putting in, but if we have some specific outcomes that we're trying to achieve and people that are on different teams are achieving those outcomes or exceeding those outcomes, then it becomes quite easy to evaluate them at the end of the year, I think. But if Ken's doing it, I'd wonder how he is doing that.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we do, Kevin. It's around achievement, not around matching up to a skill set. So we have job descriptions that describe, you know, we have what we call a job ladder, and it would go from 1 to 10. And, you know, people have different skills at those that are different mix of richness. And the difference between people at 1 versus 10 is clearly the amount of experience, but it's more around their ability to handle complexity, size, and scope of their assignments. That's really the differentiator out throughout that. And we look for different things and that go into different kinds of people skills, different kinds of process skills, and different kinds of technical skills. But the focus is always on, as you suggested, we judge and evaluate people on the success of the outcome and, most importantly, on the success of the business outcome, not the project outcome. It's not, is the project on time, on budget, and on scope. Did we achieve the benefits case at the end of the day? Because the others can change through the course of the project in managing it, but did the business get the outcome they wanted? Those are the people you're going to reward most highly in a project role. In an application maintenance role, it's around whatever service level goals are established for that application, and achieving those goals is the way people are evaluated, not on any particular skill set.
Now, you mentioned, Ken, that there is a service level that has to be managed and performed towards, and at least towards meeting it. Suppose we were to look at an always-up IT environment, like 99.999 types of environment, and you have versatilists working there. What level of challenge would it be to actually hold a specific person accountable when you do not know their specific deep-dive technology skills and you cannot afford to have things, you know, falling down?
Well, in our case, that's a great example of how the process turns around and works well. What we try and do in that situation is if you're the person putting in the change and you know that if it fails, you're the one whose pager is going to go off in the middle of the night and you're going to have to respond to the problem, you are highly incented to make that happen, as well as your management, if it has to be escalated, is going to get called in the middle of the night. We've really, over time, through this different HR approach and different versatile skill set mix, have really dramatically reduced our failure rates to the point where, you know, industry best practices around 2% failure rates on batch jobs or online availability or failure rates, and we're at small fractions of 1% in virtually every application, and it's largely accounted for by a model of accountability for the outcomes.
So if suppose I was a database administrator, say 5 years ago, and then I picked up something else, and eventually I end up working, say, in your company or someone else who is trying to build a versatilist group, and we have an SLA where you have to have the server up always, all the time. The way when a new problem comes, and every new problem will have its own new flavor, new challenges, and a person really needs to know it inside out for them to quickly respond in order for them to maintain that SLA. So would you have a tag team with this versatilist, with a specialist who may be a contractor, or will respond to it in those milliseconds for it to be, an SLA bound, but still you're able to perform up to that level?
Yes, and again, in the cases, it's around accountability. And what the incentive is then for the person they feel the pain of the accountability. They know they have a service level objective to achieve for that application. They are going to create whatever interfaces they need, jump on that problem, and they're not going to say, well, it's not my code, therefore not my problem, and be done with it. They're going to follow it through all the way to get the outcome they need for the client to get back operational as quickly as possible. So that kind of accountability focus of you need to own the problem, you need to solve the problem, you need to find the resources wherever we need to find them to get it resolved and not drop the ball because it's not your specialty area. That's the kind of cultural aspect you're trying to create out of this model.
Yeah, Sanjog, I would just like to say that that really is the critical piece that makes the difference between a versatilist and a specialist. I think it's, on some level, do you rely on your own skill sets to create a contribution to an overall whole? I think that's defined of what we've had in the specialist. And again, we still need specialists, so you know, I don't want anybody who's on my team listening to this that feels they're a specialist thinking that we don't need them, because we definitely need them. But the versatilist now is looking more on the outcome, the overall outcome, and what resources can I cobble together, my own outside resources, internal resources, partners across the business lines to achieve an outcome. So it's a very different gaze. It's not at the horizon, but it's up and out. And you have to be able to link in resources as opposed to only relying on your own.
Now, with respect to the type of person that we are looking for, this individual who can really be at the level of maturity, how much experience are we expecting this person to bring to the table? This person literally has to be a person who's almost a step-up candidate for a mid-level management position and or a very senior technology executive who happens to have learned the business side enough for them to really be called a versatilist. Is that what the level of person you would always go and hire as an employee if we were to kind of build this versatilist group? Kevin?
I think you can use this at many levels. I don't think it has to be one of my direct reports and nowhere below that. I think that there are many opportunities to cross perceived boundaries or boundaries that have been set in the past because we've been looking at siloed experiences and skill sets at all levels throughout the organization. I guess I only caveat that by saying that if everybody's wide and not deep, as Ken talked about, then you're going to have a hard time getting a lot of things done. But I think there's room at every level, and we try to strategically target those places to make sure that we're getting the right balance.
So do you think maturity, I mean, there's something to be said about the level of experience. Now, so what do you think would be a typical level of experience when we come fresh out of college? I remember my own good old days. I did not really have a clue about which castle am I building if I'm writing a piece of code. That particular level of maturity is usually missing in the beginning years, and when we learn through the years what is to be delivered and what value are we going to create, at some point of time, it dawns upon us that, yes, we are indeed building a castle, and that's by then it's a couple of years down the line. So what do we do here? What kind of room do we build for a fresh graduate to come and still be able to contribute and eventually become a versatilist? So please stay tuned. Let's talk more about this, and let's see what Ken has to say.
The model
Ken,
I
Ken,
would
we'll
say
take a quick break, and we'll be back.
Money, money, up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money, call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Esau provides homeowners and investors eager to invest well in real estate the knowledge, resources, and tools necessary to generate significant wealth. Our focus will be the paradigm. Live where you want. Invest where it makes the most sense. Listen live to the brightest minds in real estate investment every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. That's Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Esau, where America learns to invest.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back. So, Ken, please share your thoughts about how would you create room for a fresh graduate, if at all you hire such people in your team, and what's the kind of roadmap that you'll develop for them to eventually wear that versatilist hat?
Very good. The way that we do that is we do bring in junior folks, and we have a progressive ladder of skills that we expect that person to achieve to progress to the next level. But it's across a broad range of areas, so that in one situation they may be doing especially someone out of school, their initial programming assignment may be something like building reports. And then another assignment they may be, well, let's, you know, gather the requirements for a specific set of transactions. And then in another assignment it may be to, do the testing for that same thing. But by looking at that set of activities that they are leveraging, we try and not have people think of themselves as just quality assurance testers, not just business analysts, not just programmers, but that they get to do all of that, and that there are senior people in the organization who have some depth in any of those areas, but even the senior people don't limit themselves to say, well, I am a business analyst, I only do business analysis. No, you can also code, maybe not at the detailed database coding, but you can write a report, you can help with the testing process, you can help with training and deployment, so that that person, again, in the mix of the solution that we're delivering, would use a mix of skills. And the difference between the entry level and the senior level is more around the, you know, if I look at the building trades, that the person isn't just building a garage, but later in their career they can build a skyscraper, and they really have built up all the component skills with a level over time that they understand how to do that, but recognizing when it comes time to build the skyscraper, some of the complexity has to be hired in for people who know exactly how to do that. So that's where that sourcing model would supplement the skill base.
Kevin, suppose you had to talk to your business analyst and say, okay, you got to go and code, and or even go higher up in the chain of command and talk to your mid-management and have them do something which would be what they did 5 years ago. What kind of lashback will you get?
Well, you know, I think that it's important to keep everybody focused on outcomes. There's nothing like a big hairy goal at the end of the day that we're trying to achieve that seems, you know, short-term, challenging, measurable, and achievable, that gets people out of the silo space and into the space that Ken talked about, where, you know, if I can add value at any level, at any place, I'm willing to do that. And there is a level of maturity that it takes to get there, but, you know, we build some coaches into this process from day one if our expectation is that we're going to bring in someone from college who doesn't have a lot of work experience and is used to being an individual contributor in a very small sliver of the space, then very early on there's some discussion around, okay, we hired you for this skill set, but our expectation is that you're going to mature, you know, over this period of time, and make it very discreet and very specific to where you can get to do, you know, maybe two of these aspects as opposed to just one, and kind of track their adjustment to that and their acceptance of that. And then those folks that are more accepting and easily adjust to it are the ones that get more and more opportunities to eventually become that virtualist. So everybody's not cut out to do that, and certainly some people may have a strong pushback to either getting out of their specialty space in their comfort zone, or being forced back into it if they you know, feel that they have evolved from that. But I think in general, the workforce here is flexible and malleable enough and more focused on the outcomes that they understand that if I can contribute in any way, even if it's something that I would consider something that is not, you know, utilizing my full expertise, they'd be more willing to do it than not.
And, you know, to add to this, it seems like not everybody's cut out to be an entrepreneur and or a consultant, because people join or become an employee, and that is basically where they want to feel in that they are going to be in a comfort zone for the times to come. But then this approach is going to really be a wake-up call, and this is what it's going to become. Many people would totally cringe, and they may kind of defect out of your organization and may try to look outside where they can resume living in that life of comfort.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And, you know, we expect, full well expect some attrition because of that. And then we'll have to look for the next iteration of folks that are willing to, you know, adapt and adjust. And that's a normal cycle. But it really has to do with your organizational culture. And if most people have already recognized that there's going to be some adjustments and I'm going to be asked to do some things beyond maybe my comfort zone, but I'm going to be coached, I'm going to be helped, the expectations are going to be aligned appropriately with my my value, what I have to offer, there's some room for you know, potentially some small mistakes that we can recover from quickly while I grow and learn. I think that's an environment that a lot of people are comfortable working in.
Now, Ken, question for you. What size of organization would this be more of a sweet spot, the versatilist crew?
Well, at Sunoco, we have a relatively large IT organization, and, you know, it's roughly 600 FTEs. In the organization, some of those are contract resources. So, but let me go back and circle on the notion of job satisfaction. And we've been at this for quite a long time in a model of the versalist. So it's a pretty much top to bottom thing. So again, we have a mantra that everybody codes from management down to the entry level. Everybody does everything, essentially. You know, we'll all chip in and test when the time comes to do testing. And we try and drive that from, you know, from my level on down to the, again, right out of college. And the question is, does it create turnover? Initially, we probably had some. In the last 15 years, our turnover rate has been very, very, very low. We are experiencing well under a 2% annual turnover rate in the last 10 years. And then you look at, is the job more satisfying? And what we have found, and in talking to the people that have lived in this model now for about 12 years, they find the job more satisfying. Not that it's the negative connotation that you gave is, gee, I'm going to have to do something I did 5 years ago skill-wise. That is much more overcome by, I made a difference for our business. I was successful. I got a great outcome for the business. And that satisfaction of tying, you know, we all seek alignment. This is the, you know, in our mind, the ultimate alignment of how to get people committed to the business outcomes and committed to do whatever it takes. You know, if that means, geez, that's outside my comfort zone, it's not my primary skill, but I'm committed to make this successful, then people will just jump in and do this. It's no longer something they do reluctantly. They have a real commitment to outcomes, and they'll bring whatever skills they have and exercise them to the greatest amount. And if they're given a challenge, the key in hiring is to hire people who are lifelong learners.
So basically you're saying this is a good opportunity for a leader.
They have to be lifelong learners and committed to that, and then you can make the model work.
So basically what you're saying is this is also a good opportunity to do some cleanup work, because there may always be dead weight and or people who just want to be hiding behind the hierarchy, et cetera. But now this is a time when they will be managed out if they are not the type of people who you anyway wanted in the organization.
Absolutely. I mean, in the time that when we first implemented this, we were under tremendous pressures for cutback. And so we've moved our complement down from where we were historically, about 1,300 IT people, to where we are now, an equivalent of about 600. So we've progressively made that, and this approach has been extremely useful. It's kind of like the concept of virtualization. You know, if anyone's a specialist, and how are they effectively filling their time? Are they just doing their specialty thing, or are they getting the kind of results that you want them to get day in, day out for the business, and getting that commitment? So that's the difference, I think, fundamentally. And your point is right. It's absolutely best to implement it in a down market, because it is change, and sometimes change will cause people to leave an organization. But in the down market, those opportunities are fewer, plus the need to get better results and to get more streamlined and efficient and have zero slack in the organization. And what slack you bring back is through the variable cost model, so that, again, that employees can get some comfort knowing there's a layer of contract employees that can flex in and flex out into the marketplace, whereas your core employees are really there, and they're the core of value achievement.
Kevin, do you think this model could be a good strategy for any organization which is trying to optimize its overall IT?
I think it is. I think that you get more out of your employees, clearly. You know, you're expecting more, and they're expecting more out of themselves and out of their peers. So there's a little bit of peer pressure that goes on there too, when you have that baked into your IT culture, that, you know, people are going to contribute in every way that they can, and, you know, there's no sacred cows and there's no prima donnas, and we're just going to really dig in and look for the way we can contribute to get the business outcome. So I think that there is a linkage between that and you know, thinking about how you can you know, smooth out the fat maybe in an organization.
So given that everybody, like including all of us, we always had a goal in mind that this is what I want to become when I grow up and or I'm more experienced, I have a number of years of experience. With the versatilist model, it seems like you anyway would be wearing different hats. So what is that goal? How can one individual define a goal about what they are going to be in coming years when they don't even have a title and or a goal or a role?
So it changes, Sanjog. It actually changes from what I want to be to how much I can contribute.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back, and let's discuss this a little more, that when as an individual, when I'm looking into my career, I want to be a little more specific about what I want to do. And yes, there is an inherent expectation from the management that if their person is getting a paycheck, they should be delivering and they should be creating value for the enterprise. How does an employee think? What is in it for him or her? Let's stay tuned. We'll be right back and see what Ken and Kevin have to say.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Issa provides homeowners and investors eager to invest well in real estate the knowledge, resources, and tools necessary to generate significant wealth. Our focus will be the paradigm. Live where you want. Invest where it makes the most sense. Listen live to the brightest minds in real estate investment every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. That's Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Issa, where America learns to invest.
Tune in every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific time for The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. On the show, Aldana and some of today's top business professionals will discuss some of today's most pressing business issues that hold you, the business owner, back. Aldana will also give you 21 ways to grow with her list of growth strategies. Grow smart, grow profit, and grow your business with Aldana Ambler and The Growth Strategist every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific time. Right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, Kevin, question is, if what we want does not match with the employee, what they have a specific idea, how does that work out? Because we may be thinking that this person will be changing his roles all the time. And then on the other hand, employee may have a specific idea about where their career is going, and we are almost forcing them to become vague in the way career is going to move. And we are only going to say, what are you bringing to the business? They will inherently have a secret agenda. What is this business bringing to me?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And so this is an evolution for us anyway. We're certainly not there yet, but we're evolving to the place where it's less about, you know, targeting a specific job. There's clearly some of that, but more about if you're thinking about moving up or showing that you can provide more value, it's about finding those opportunities to use all your skills and even to be stretched, I mean, to learn new skills that you don't currently have. So I think that there will be an alignment process over the maturation period of a organization's culture where the old adages that we keep talking about will have to, and necessarily collide with the new way of doing things, and there'll be some, you know, give and take, but at the end of the day, there'll be a movement towards not necessarily, employees thinking about, you know, how can I add value? How can I show my skills? How can I better my skills? And then when you ask them to what end, they could say, well, once I'm engaged, once I'm fulfilled, once I have job satisfaction, ultimately, and I'm performing well, I'm going to be asked to perform even more at a different level. I think that we're moving there. I think some of the younger generations are starting to embrace that.
So, Ken, if one was to go and have a conversation with one of your star employees, who is the star versatilist that you have, what is he looking at his career 5 years from now? How would you define it in, say, 20 words?
I would say it's around being able to make greater contributions to the company. It's how much more can I contribute is the key. And so when we look at the breadth of skill, you know, another conversation that relates to that star employee is, gee, boss, how can I really get better? What do you want from me? And it's you know, it's reminiscent of, you know, in leadership you try and say, what's the fundamental core, you know, in one sentence, what do you want the person to do? And I wouldn't have the conversation and say, I want you to be, you know, learn Visio to do better business analysis or improve your .NET skills so you can learn SQL. Those aren't the conversations. It's around grow in all kinds of dimensions so that you improve your people skills, your listening skills, your communication skills, the things that you have to do, try and improve your critical judgment in situations through leadership training, try and improve your process across the board and understanding business workflow, business analysis, improve your project management skills, get certified, as well as improve your technical skills. And as you move up the seniority ladder, it's from the actual practitioner level to, again, into, you know, how do I architect a solution? How do I create good design? How do I make sure that everyone in the team is bringing everything they can so that the leadership model that they have is consistent around outcomes and that the skills are just things we build over a career to greater and greater levels to enable bigger, broader scoped and greater contributions of those outcomes. You wouldn't give a junior level the project to implement a large SAP implementation or deploy a new server farm. You're going to give that to the senior person who you can know brings all of the skills necessary to do all of that work and can bring a team together that has the right mix of talents to get the outcome you need for that activity.
Do you think if there was a large enough initiatives and there were a couple of people who were equally competent, and while there may be one project lead, but all of these people were asked to sit in a room and try to figure out how this should be done, would this be like too many chefs cooking the broth and there'll be an analysis paralysis? Kevin.
So I think in the old model where everybody has a role and everything has its place and nobody's going to stretch out of that place, you may find some of that, but if the group goal is to achieve an objective that's beyond that room, what you do is you leverage the strength. Someone says, well, hey, you know what, I'm really good at this piece of the equation. I'm not so good at this other piece. Can anybody fill this gap that I have in my skill set? And somebody steps up and says, yeah, you know what, I'm pretty much an expert at that. And, you know, as you kind of work around the room with folks who are willing to contribute their best to the overall effort, you can work through that. Now, that doesn't happen organically, especially if you haven't done it before and it's not part of your culture. So, again, there needs to be some coaching or some modeling of that behavior. But, you know, the desire is to get to that point where it does happen organically because it's part of the culture, it's baked into the process, the incentive systems are set up to reward people for collaboration and bringing out the best in everyone, then you can get to that place. And I'm not submitting that anybody, you know, ever gets to nirvana completely, but directionally, that's where people, I think, should be moving.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I think it's a model of trying to get the most out of people, trying to look at what they're going to try and contribute to it. And as, you know, in terms of people fighting for leadership, that's not necessarily an unhealthy thing. It's when people fight for territory that you get unhealthy behaviors. You know, like, oh, that's my space, don't mess with that. If everyone is, you know, and you see it, I'll again revert to a military analogy here, is that, you know, if you're in a company of soldiers and the captain is shot, somebody's got to pick up the leadership. And a good captain's going to engage every one of the officers and leaders in the enlisted ranks to come together and make them all committed to the mission and committed to the objective, and, you know, in the heat of battle, situations change. I think the same analogies apply to us in the business world. If you're focused on the outcome, what the mission objective is, and then if leadership is shared and really taken across the board, so everyone's doing their part and knowing that, geez, in the next mission someone else may be in command. You just accept that and contribute to that entire team leadership in the best you can and do the job you're assigned and make sure you get it done. And if you need help, grab your buddy and pull them in. I think we see the same thing with, in modern IT sense, with agile development teams. They really exemplify using multiple roles to get a sprint done of what that activity is. And it's not have people only do the one thing and the breakdown of the traditional methods that we've applied in IT and that we're using in Agile. I think we can apply that across the board and use those techniques of just everyone's committed to achieving that, you know, objective and break down objectives into things that everyone can deal with right then and there and make it happen.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Kevin and Ken, for sharing your thoughts about how we can leverage versatilists to actually create a very healthy culture where everybody wants to deliver value for the business and they want to also develop themselves and grow into much better professionals.
Thank you. It was a great opportunity to chat about this really important topic.
Yes, thank you for having us, and it was a pleasure sharing my 30 years of experience with you in trying to make this happen.
Thank you again. Now, working in a world where there is a clear focus on specialization and there are clear separation of roles and duties, there may be some skepticism around using a versatilist, which to many may be synonymous to generalist. Now, while acquiring talent, finding a one-man army has never been easy, and also the ability to execute leveraging multiple technologies and processes comes with experience, and that type of experience is not as easy to find. So if this is the direction today and tomorrow for the IT leaders, that is how they want to build their IT crew with respect to versatilists, then we have to find a way by which we create a culture which will foster versatilists out of the existing crew and also be able to attract enough from outside. And also, it also should create a way for managing out the people who were never performers and were, were just hiding behind the ranks. So what do you think about if IT can really deliver by hiring the versatilist crew? Please send us your thoughts to views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog All next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.